Welcome back to the E-Team Sponsor Podcast. I'm Sean Connors, co-founder and CEO, joined today by Rob Wygod from the Southern Section in the CIF, as well as David Grissom from the Central Coast Section of the CIF. Rob, David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
Morning, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for coming on, guys. We were just talking before we started recording. Lots changed in the last handful of weeks. A lot of information that's come down. Why don't you both give us just a quick update on your respective sections and maybe for the coaches and athletic directors of the CIF that are going to be watching this. Share a little bit about, you know, specifically what's going on in your section. Rob, we'll go ahead and kick it off with you.
Okay. Well, again, great to be with you and to be with my good friend Dave. Welcome to all that he's doing in the Central Coast section. And he's done a wonderful job already. The guy's come with everything that he can bring to this, and appreciated getting to know him better and work with him. And in terms of the Southern section, you know, we all became very involved in working this calendar together with all the section commissioners and CIF state office, and announced it a week ago Monday on July 20th. And really since then, just been a lot of communication with our section, with our coaches, athletic directors, and principals, how to navigate through the various changes that they're all going to go through. But I think what we've really been pleased to see is the reactions have been very positive. We tried very hard to emphasize that this was something that student athletes had to be put first. We have had a lot of negativity with our student athletes over the last few months, and they've had to endure so much. And we really wanted to get the message out that the adults have the challenges that we need to overcome. We need to realize student athletes come first. And whatever these challenges are, and as difficult as they may be, we need to present a unified front that shows our student athletes that we can do this, and that we'll come through for them, we'll deliver for them, and really allow for them to do what they love to do. And so I've been very encouraged by the last 10 days or so and how it's gone with our section. And again, we're just, I think, rolling up our sleeves past the elbows and up to the shoulders, and everybody trying to work through the various calendars and juggling of facilities, coaches, multi-sport athletes, a lot of the general questions and even more specific questions that our folks have as we go forward.
Love it. Love it. Great. Sounds like there's been a great response down there already. That's awesome. David, how about you? Central Coast section.
Yeah. Thanks for the intro, and thanks for including me and Rob. I'm just going to keep following you, and hopefully I can learn from you as we go along. In my first 27 days of section commissioner, we've been moving at a frantic pace. Very, very similar to Southern Section. CIF came down with their playoff dates, which allowed us then to move forward with our calendar as well. Our section has, our executive committee has decided to move forward, in the same direction as the state, which I was very pleased that we were able to do that. As Rob said, it brings some challenges, but I think, first and foremost, our perspective has been the student athlete and what can we do to support them. I have a student athlete at home, a senior this year, and every day I come home, he said, "Dad, tell me we're playing." I'm like, "Well, today we're playing, kid." And that's just and every kid that I come along, whether it's his friends or others, I hear that from them. They want to be out. They want to be out in the field. And they want to do it in a safe manner as well. And that is our challenge going forward. But I'm super excited with where our section is and the fact that we're doing everything we can to put a product on the field for our kids, for them to be able to compete.
David, let's stick with you, man. Jumping right into it, 27 days into the new role, right in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. What's the number one thing that you've learned, or your number one takeaway at this point in your first month or so in the job?
Yeah, communication. Communicate with our member schools. Before I even really started the position, I had a opportunity to be on a Zoom cast with four or five different superintendents in our section, and the one thing that they asked of me was to communicate with them as we're going through this pandemic in particular, and So I've been able to drop an email to them about once a week, and just kind of where we are and where we're going, where we're headed. to get them kind of in the on the front line of understanding where we are headed. That's been a big piece for them. I think in general, the superintendents kind of allow the school sites to take care of sure. the sports athletic world. But in this case, there's so many moving parts with our superintendents, that to assist them and to listen to them and for them to hear where we are, I think has actually been a kind of a bonding experience for us and the superintendents that we may not have had previously.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah, I think it's been a rallying cry for a number of organizations. Communication is going to be the key to success during this time. So it's great to hear that that's the same there in the CCS, David. Thanks for sharing that. Rob, you said that you guys have been back in the office since July 7th. That's awesome. Get the team back together. Nothing like working together again in person. What would you say has been the key to success that the Southern section has seen here the last month or so?
Well, Dave, I think, is hit on the most important part of the jobs that we do, and that is the communication. And so while we were shut down and working remotely, and even now that we've come back, it's always been a pretty high priority, if not the highest priority, to keep our constituents informed. And that's a lot of stakeholders. That's starting from the top when you talk about superintendents or even county offices of education, and working through the superintendents and school principals, athletic directors and coaches, and then throw in student athletes and parents and officials and media members. And so we've tried very, very hard while this has gone on is to do the best we can to keep everybody informed and up to date. And that's been our primary focus, no matter what format that would be delivered in, and be available, obviously, for our constituents and everyone else. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. But beyond that is just to be constantly updating and communicating to our stakeholders so that they're aware of what's happening in the current time. And the only thing we can say for sure, and all of us probably agree, is that the one thing that's been constant the entire time is change. And that whatever plan we might have had or ever thought we had or ever update we gave, maybe a week or two later, we had to do another one because and something in this fluid situation would be constantly different as we've gone forward. So that's how I see these last few months especially.
Great, great. Well, it's great to hear that, like I said, that both sections are led by people that are focused on the right thing, the student athletes, and you guys are keeping communication right at the top of the list. So that's great to hear. You know, I think everybody saw it on, if they were watching ESPN or whatever wherever they go to for their news source, they saw, you know, down the bottom line and even probably maybe a 30-second section on, hey, California CIF had decided to, you know, post their championship dates and push sports out. So if you two can both individually, let us know. Take us in. What was that like? You know, you've got the CIF section commissioners. What was that meeting like? How long did it take to come together, to come to that agreement? I can't imagine it was a 15-minute meeting. So take us inside of that decision-making process.
That one's Rob's. Rob, you were in the room where it happened.
Well, you too. But we started, Sean, and we started in April, virtually as soon as we had to shut down spring sports. And we began conversations with the state office and all the section commissioners. And it's a unique experience in some respect because we had three new section commissioners coming in during this period. The important thing about that, I'll try to make it brief, but the important thing with new commissioners such as Dave is that they're really important because they're coming right from the campuses, you know, what we call the trenches. Guys like me, I haven't been there for a while. So the perspectives that Dave and then Joe Hines in San Diego and Ryan Toss coming in the central section, although he's been working in the section office in the section, but their perspectives are really valuable because they're coming in right from where the work gets done every day. And so their involvement, and they got involved in this process too. But we got started. We were looking at a three season of sport model. We were looking at that we'd probably have to cut regular seasons to make the overlaps work for all three seasons. And so we continually worked on various scenarios and different plans with that in mind, really in the months of April and May. We were meeting at least every other week, sometimes more than that, by conference calls, of course. And then as we got towards the end of June, and we saw this real dramatic shift in what was happening in the state of California, you know, we started, all of the original work was about putting some type of fall sports in its traditional window, whether it would be a girls' golf, a girls' tennis, maybe girls' volleyball, maybe cross country. We had always had our thoughts in mind that we would get some of those potentially done in the fall window. And as we got to the end of June and early July, it just looked like less and less that that was going to be possible. And then we started to focus on the two seasons of sport. And the biggest challenges there were the winter sports. We have the fewest number of sports in the winter, with boys and girls basketball, boys and girls wrestling, boys and girls soccer, and girls water polo for us. I know other sections have it in the fall. And what to do in terms of three seasons. And so we pretty much folded the three, basketball, soccer, and wrestling, into the spring season of the two seasons. And for us, we moved our girls water polo to the fall. And the boys volleyball ended up moving to the fall. And so once we centered in on the two seasons, we realized that we could keep regular seasons fairly intact. We could keep them 90%, 100% of what they normally would be, no reduction in their maximum number of contests. And so we knew that those were some positive things that we were going to be able to do. That being said, we knew there would be some impact of what we call stacking sports, especially in the spring, where we put most of those winter sports into the spring, and what that would mean for student athletes trying to play multiple sports, for coaches who coach multiple sports, and obviously for school facilities and how they're going to manage and so forth, and also officials. We're going to have a big challenge with that. So that's kind of how it evolved. We crystallized it over the couple of weeks before the announcement. Honestly, a week ago Monday, we had our final meeting with all the section commissioners and the state office and agreed on the dates that the state was going to publish for their dates, as Dave alluded to. And then for the rest of that week, we as section commissioners and within our offices had to develop our specific section calendars, start dates for our regular seasons, section championship dates, section playoff dates, kind of working backward from what the state did and the seasons that they defined. We went and worked on the front end then most of last week before the announcement. And then obviously we were ready to go on July 20. So it was a long process, but I can't say enough about the way that the commissioners and the state office and all of us really work well together. We're colleagues, but I truly believe that we're more than that. We're friends. We're people who care about each other. We respect each other. And we all know that we can get things done in that spirit for student athletes. The only way this is going to work for student athletes is if all of us work together on what's best for them first. So as I said, I can't say enough about that. I'm starting my 10th year as commissioner, my 21st year working in the Southern Section office, and I can't say enough about how that cooperation and spirit of working together right now has been the best that it's ever been in all the years that I've been involved. It's just a really good group of people who care so much about what we do, and more than that, who we do it for. And so I can't express enough to people how much our section commissioners and staffs and state office folks really, really care about this, know how important it is, and really do put the student athletes first and foremost and always in our mind about how we can come through for them. So that's pretty much what went on from April through July, the end of July.
Thank you for taking us through that journey, Rob. I think it's so important. I mean, as a former coach myself, and I think that I can speak for many of them that are going to be listening to this and athletic directors as well, it's so important for them to get a little bit more context as to what goes into these decisions and to think about an unprecedented bout of adversity and to see all of these people that you just mentioned come together over the course of months to create what is the best possible opportunity and situation, considering the circumstances, this enormous challenge. It's really, really says something a lot. It says a lot about each individual that was included in that process. So thanks for sharing that. It's I think coaches and athletic directors get a lot more clarity, understanding, hey, what went into this process. And it's not, it was not an easy one. That's for sure. David, what was it like being in the room for the first time with all of these guys working with these folks together and seeing something like this, ultimately be the final decision?
Yeah. Let me start with this, like working with Rod Nachetti at the state office and his staff, and the commissioners, I couldn't have landed working with a better group of people. And just, great. I think, like-minded, here to do what's right for kids. And first and foremost, I just want to make sure that that's said and understood. I went from June 30th, being in a room talking to, as a principal, talking about distance learning, to July 1st. You know, and being in those conversations actually helped me in this position, in that I came to the realization, in working with our superintendent, my old district, and other superintendents, that if kids weren't going to be able to be in class, there was no way a superintendent or a principal could say, but at 3:30, I expect to see all the football players out at practice. I mean, it's just not going to happen, right? And so I think having that perspective kind of helped me come to the realization of where we needed to be. And we are now in my section, predominant, every county as of yesterday, every single county is now on the watch list. So, and there's six counties that we feed into. So I think it became pretty apparent that we were not going to be able, we were not back to normal, and we're not going to be back to normal anytime super soon. So delaying the start of the athletic calendar only made sense, and I think that makes sense to everybody that's in the central section. Not everybody's super pleased with it, but I think everybody understands it.
Sure.
When my executive committee met, we actually had the opportunity to look at four different sports, and because they do not follow a state or regional playoff, that we could move around or manipulate, and there's still been conversations about that amongst my leagues. But the reassuring piece, or the piece that kind of my aha moment and all that, was that when we ended up landing where we landed exactly the same place that the state had landed, yeah. Exactly where all of our other sections have landed, that it may not be perfect, but this is the best opportunity we have for our kids. Yeah. And, you know, being in the room, it's reassuring that both with my executive committee and with the state CIF and all the other sections, that we're all in this together. We're all in the same place. And we've all kind of the same realizations on our own, sure. which has been really nice.
That's great. That's great. Well, turning the page, or I guess looking towards the future, now that the calendar's set, I think coaches, student athletes, athletic directors, Rob, like you said, parents, right? The adults, we've got a calendar. So take us through, what's the next couple months going to look like? We got school starting. We've got coaches that are, you know, questions. Athletic directors have questions with regards to, you know, when do we start practice? And if my season doesn't start until January or March, whatever it is, kind of look into the future. How are you going to lead those conversations with your within your sections?
Well, it's the ultimate question now, and really it starts with opening of school. We need to get our students back on campus. We need to obviously have them back on campus when it's healthy and safe for them to do so. And then once that happens, it's time to hopefully bring the athletic teams too. And again, making sure that it's done healthy and in the safe way. So that's what is going to be developing here over the next few months. We have seven counties in our section's footprint, all of whom are on the watch list. So again, they're all in the same boat on that respect, but we got to get the schools open. Then we hopefully can bring the teams back. What we've done statewide is extend what's called summertime rules, which allow our athletic programs to be under the control of the high school principal. And that way, these decisions will be always made at the school district, private school level, with the consultation of the health authorities, state and local health authorities. So if they do get back on campus, and we're now in September, October, being under summertime rules would allow all kinds of normal run-up, if you want to call it, preparations for their seasons. They can be training in the weight rooms. They can be playing off-season games. They can be playing in tournaments. They can be doing a lot of their normal preseason type of activities they would do in the summer, in June and July. So we've extended that period into August, September, October, November, up until we begin the fall sports season, so that it gives our schools the maximum amount of flexibility as to what they can do to get ready to go. What might be happening in Dave's section and the counties in his area, they may be farther ahead than we are. We may have counties within our own section that might be farther ahead than other counties. So this will allow that flexibility. And hopefully, as we continue to move through those months, we get closer to the start of the seasons that we've published. And then we have our schools back. We have our teams back we have control of this thing so that confidence is restored. Yeah. And people will feel, the student athletes know they can go out there and not be at risk. Parents and fellow students and those who want to come and watch the games know that they're not at risk and in harm's way to be able to go and watch. And that's really what these next few months will need to be about. And I just hope people are, they really want this to return and they need to be cognizant of this. Yeah. Having our club and travel programs going on uninterrupted and bringing hundreds of kids together and parents together and conducting all the activities they might normally do isn't going to help. Because it's not going to do any good for all of this to happen while the high schools are trying to be more gradual and then try to get back to when our season start. The club folks and travel folks, they'll be shut down as well. So none of us will be able to go forward. And so hopefully we'll spend some good time here in the state of California really understanding what we all need to do so that we can actually get to the point where this calendar will go and be implemented.
Great, great. Thanks for sharing that, Rob. Clarity is kindness. We appreciate your kindness and sharing all that's going on in the southern section and laying out the roadmap. That's great. I think it's gonna, as you said, confidence. It's gonna allow people to feel a lot more confident about what needs to take place moving forward. David, how about yourself?
Very, very, very similar to the southern section, actually. I think the first step to getting back onto the field is getting our counties off of the watch list. Really, extracurriculars were stopped by the governor until we are off the watch list. So that was that was pretty clear on his July 17th message. So we're working on that. I think our counties in our area have done a real good job of campaigning masks and all those kinds of things to keep us safe. As those start to lift, and they will eventually start to lift, then as Rob said, we are in summer mode as well. It allows our coaches now to Zoom with our students, with our student athletes. Hopefully eventually it'll lead to 7-on-7 and summer league basketball and all sorts of good stuff. But until we're off that watch list, we're a little bit more shelter in place, than I'd like to be. So, most of the summer so far, many of our teams have actually been able to work out together and those kinds of things. It's been really, really positive for our student athletes. I think for our coaches as well, just being able to reconnect. There's been such a disconnect between our students and our adults in regards to being on Zoom. And Zoom's great, but it doesn't make up for us not being face to face, one on one situation. So I look forward to the day when we can return to the classroom and educate our students in the best manner that we can. So,
And I'll piggyback off that. David, I'll ask you this question. You were on a campus, like you said, until June 30th. Now you're in the section commissioner role. Looking at that transition back and getting these student athletes back and working with their teams again, and ultimately when it's safe to do so, but what do you think are going to be some of the keys to what does that look like? From an athletic director standpoint, coach's standpoint, getting these student athletes back into, I guess, like you said, 7-on-7 or tournaments or just practice, getting together again. I know there's a lot of PPE requirements that are going to be on certain campuses. Kind of take us through what that transition you feel like is going to look like for these athletic departments and schools here over the course of the next handful of weeks and months.
Yeah, and I actually even wonder, and maybe Rob can kind of help us. I kind of even wonder whose lap this fits in. So, Rob's got 7 counties. I've got 6. Are we going to be responsible within our sections to present guidelines for each of our sports to each of our health departments, which will then need to be approved by each of our health departments? I mean, there's a process there. That we're in an infancy stage. We're nowhere close to being ready to do that, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. We have some guidelines from NFHS in regards to each of the sports. But there's a lot of work to do. And part of the problem that I've seen in the state of California really just has to do with communication from one health department to the next. In our area, for instance, we had restaurants that were closed down in Morgan Hill, and yet they had been approved to be opened by our own health department. So the communication between our health departments, has to improve. And then that will, I think, in that will then lead to us being able to put in more safety precautions at schools and what our protocols are for us to return to play.
Got it. You know, and Rob, I think we'll transition back to you here in terms of you've had students that probably have been off of a campus since mid-March, right? I mean, it's been quite a while. Is there anything, I guess, from the section standpoint in terms of guidance or information that you're sharing with schools, with athletic directors from an athletic standpoint in terms of, you know, we've talked a lot about in the last 4.5 months, mental health, you know, the academic side of things, students not, you know, being in that environment that's most conducive to learning, which is inside of a classroom. There's a lot to take in here. I guess, you know, not to say that the sections have to take on some of that responsibility, but just interested in from your standpoint, has the Southern section talked about maybe being an aid in that or leading in some capacity as the student athletes do transition back at some point?
We've tried, I think, for a long time, and I will say I don't think I've ever been shy about saying what I believe the value of education-based athletics is and the fact that we're the only ones that do it. And if anything's coming out of all of this is that while we're focused on the games and the sports and so forth, what we're finding out is what you've touched on, Sean, and that is that it's so much more than that with high school athletics. It's being with your friends. It's being with your teammates. It's being back with your teacher coaches who have these tremendous impacts and influences on our young people. It's so much more than just going out there to dribble the basketball or pass the football back and forth. And so if anything comes out of this, with it gone as it's been gone, is that people understand and appreciate even more what a special and unique experience that education-based athletics is. And so it does speak to mental health and socialization and just the sense of belonging and the comfort that comes with being with people that you enjoy being with and feel commonality with. And we talk a lot about that before even this incredible societal change that's taking place here. We have been in the high school athletic world a shining example of how people get along, of looking at a high school sports team and seeing student athletes of different colors who speak different languages, are from different socioeconomic backgrounds, have different beliefs, and yet they set those aside and they come together as a group. They set goals that they want to try to achieve as a group, and they forget about any differences that they have, their teammates, their brothers and sisters out there. So we have done that. Our organization has been around 107 years, and we're still doing that every single day. And we can be that shining example, and we are. And so if anything, for me, I hope people really, now that we've had this interruption of what we all love to do, we'll see this when it comes back, and it will come back, that what a special thing it is and what it does for young people. And all of us who've been in this business for our careers as adults, you know, we know that and have always known that. And if it's even possible, we know it even more over these last few months. And that's a message that actually has been out there, but maybe will resonate a little deeper now, because when we come back, there should be a real heightened appreciation for it, because it's been truly missed. And I hope for that.
Absolutely. I heard a great quote the other day, that challenging roads lead to beautiful destinations. And these last 4.5 months have certainly been challenging. And I think with the focal point being the health and well-being of students and student athletes, they will have a beautiful destination once we can get back there, and all that they get to look forward to. Last couple of questions as we, you know, kind of wind down a little bit here. You know, just from a very tactical standpoint, how are you communicating individually, I guess, with not necessarily within your organization in terms of who's in your office, but specifically to athletic directors and coaches? What is that chain of command look like right now in terms of communication? How often are you guys providing updates, just for the listeners there and viewers, so they can get a sense for your respective sections and maybe how other sections are choosing to communicate as well?
Yeah, so I have an opportunity, a couple things. I've had the opportunity to just write emails, updates to our superintendents, principals, and ADs about once a week, and just the month of July, and we'll continue to do that. I also, last night, was on a Zoom call with about 70 other or 70 athletic directors in our section, just answering questions for them as they came up. That's another way. I do sit on, since COVID, well, since maybe mid early June, I've had the opportunity to sit in a bi-weekly meeting with San Jose Sports Authority that's included the Niners, the San Jose Giants, the Earthquakes, San Jose State, Stanford, WCC, and just in regards to how each group is handling the pandemic and what they're doing. So that's led to some really, really positive conversations as well, and be able to pass some of that on too.
That's great. Well, I want to stop there then for a second. Well, first, let's talk about the 70 athletic directors you're on that Zoom call. Is that something you're going to look to continue to do periodically? And if so, or even just looking at that last call, what maybe was the number one question that you took away or that you had to answer that you felt, might be important for everyone else to hear or know?
Yeah, no. So that's actually a planned meeting already. CCS ADA, we meet 4 or 5 times a year. So it would happen to be our summer meeting anyway. So it worked out perfectly.
Great.
The thing that my takeaway is how differently our calendar affects one school to the next. Okay. And everybody has their own challenges, whether that's a facility challenge or a lot of our small schools in particular have challenges in regards to whether they're going to be able to handle all of the sports that they normally would, given that we've stacked sports on top of each other and those kinds of things. I think that we saw that was going to be a concern moving forward. But there's other things that offset those full seasons, those kinds of things. So, but it really, really great conversations and allowed us to move forward in a real positive way.
Wow. Sounds like you're getting a lot of great information, not only just from within your section, but obviously by virtue of where you guys were physically located and having a professional and amateur sports at various levels there and decision makers and leaders being able to get together and that type of think tank, man, that's what a tremendous resource, David. That's great. Rob, how about you? And I got to imagine too, being a beacon of light, not just within the CIF, obviously, but I think the CIF being a beacon of light during this pandemic, I have to imagine other governing bodies of athletics in other states are looking to, or can maybe even consulting with the CIF as to how they're going and managing this right now. I was interested as have other, not just section commissioners here in the state of California, but other governing bodies of athletics, have they reached out to you to tap into how you're doing things?
Yeah, I've heard from Ohio and Arizona and Utah and some other states, but I believed at the very beginning of this that this was a call to leadership, and I really believed that our group of commissioners and state office folks could answer that call, and I believe that we have to this point. I believe people have said we need leadership here, we need direction, we need people to make firm decisions, and we've done that. And after a lot of consultation and a lot of work that we've discussed already. In terms of communication, I was on with a group yesterday, similar to Dave. We have athletic director associations throughout our section. So I was on a call with them yesterday. But what we're going to be doing, and it's really part of we're opening schools. Most of our schools will be opening in the month of August, maybe a few in September, but pretty much starting next week and beyond. So we have our regular eligibility workshops that we do. We usually do them in 7 different geographic locations, but we're going to do them obviously virtually. So we're going to do those. There's an electronic system that all the sections use except one that's called CIF Home. Yeah. So we're going to have 2 trainings at CIF Home that are separate from the eligibility workshops. We have workshops specifically for new principals and new athletic directors. So we have 2 of those scheduled in September. And so all of those normal opening of activities of the school year, we're going to go forward with, again, virtually, but we need to review new rules. We need to review eligibility. We need to review best practices and suggestions and all the things that we typically do, what we call guidelines for communication. So our constituents know who to talk to and what the process is. So we're going to be working through all of those normal activities, although they won't be in person, they'll be going on. And it's all been part of what we've learned, which is we can actually communicate easier and more often than we would do trying to drive around places, but it doesn't substitute for face-to-face. And we will be back to face-to-face meetings when we can do it. Similar to Dave, I as long as I've been commissioner, I've done a monthly message from the commissioner, and I've tried to highlight different topics or different things that were coming up at the time. But since this happened in March, I've been doing updates. I've gotten out of the monthly messages because, again, the updates are coming more frequently every week or so, every 2 weeks or so. I have one coming out Monday just to continually talk about some of the rules, interpretations, some of the things that are happening, some other suggestions about how to navigate forward. So that's what, you know, is going to start ramping up. I think we're going to get a lot of calls and questions about transfers and a lot of things happening with the actual starting of school, even though it may not be in person, but there will be new students arriving at schools and transferring and moving around for various reasons. So I think we're going to see a real uptick in our traffic in terms of emails and calls and things as our schools start opening, especially in the unique way that they are opening.
Sure.
So that's how I see these next few months for sure. But we're going to proceed, as I said, these are our primary communication formats for the start of school. These eligibility workshops, we probably get 300 to 400 of our athletic directors involved in those across the different ones that we do. And it'll be a good way for us to stay in touch and get started this year.
That's great. That's great. In so many ways, what you just described sounds like it's going to be back to normal in some ways. Obviously, how you're able to do it and administer those types of meetings. I think that sense of normalcy probably is going to be welcomed by a lot of people, not just in your section office, but I think coaches and athletic directors as well, getting back into the normal swing of things. So that's great to hear. We'll wrap it up with this. You touched on leadership, and you know, I'll commend you both. I think it's right now, I feel there's a big leadership void in this world, and I feel like this has provided a great opportunity for people to lead. Rob, you touched on it earlier that the CIF has done a tremendous job of leading. I'd say not only, you know, just the last handful of months, but you know, for a while, they've been the beacon of leadership, I think, in the governing bodies of athletics. That's for sure. Maybe, you know, something we've talked about internally at E-Team Sponsor, we've heard a lot from our coaches and athletic directors as well, is how are they choosing to lead right now? And some of the things that we've heard is when dealing with adversity, in order to be resilient, they've got to kind of focus in on their one or two core values, and that's how they're going to choose to lead, remain focused on those one or two things. So maybe share with the viewers and the listeners today as we wrap up, how are you choosing to lead, and maybe what are those one or two core values that you're focusing on and choosing to lead with?
Oh, the silence is deafening, Rob.
Where do you
want to
go?
Let me say this. It's something that I talked about before we actually started today. I had a phone call from my section president, and he apologized and sent his condolences to me for starting this position in the middle of a pandemic. And my response was, and I meant it, as it's easy to lead when things are going well. But a real leader is what you do when you have more challenging times. And that's where we are right now. You know, our focus is on physical and mental health of our students.
Great.
And we believe that, creating a safe structure for them to return to the field is what is best for them. Athletics brings so much, has brought so much to me personally, has brought so much to our kids in regards to building lifelong relationships with others, and those kind of things. I just think it's paramount that we're able to provide those experiences for our kids in a safe manner. And that is our focus right now.
Love it. Love it, Dave. Rob, how about you, man? Take us home.
Yeah, well said, Dave, and many of the things that I would agree with you. I just believe that my feeling and focus and primary responsibility is to lead with student athletes first. And I lead in that every day in my mind, that what are we doing for them and how can we show them that this can be done and we can deliver. And that's really what it's been about. In terms of leading this effort, you'll never go wrong if you put students first. And some of our adults, I think, I hope, and as I said, just trying to gauge some reactions and reading newspaper articles and talking to people, I've really been pleased with what I've seen from a lot of the adults out there, that they are focusing on the student athletes. They're not, woe is me, and it can't be done, and this is impossible. And I really wanted to stress that from the beginning, that the student athletes do not need that message. They do not need the negativity from our adults. They need the positive steps forward that they've been given, and we need to show them our support for them and how we can make that happen. So that's been the focus for leadership. And I, again, commend my fellow commissioners in the state office and all of us, the athletic directors, coaches, principals, superintendents, all of those that keep student athletes first are leading the right way. And no one will ever doubt their commitment if that's what they're doing. And I believe a lot of them are, and it's been encouraging to see.
That's awesome to hear. Awesome to hear students are first, true servant leadership from the two of you. And I know that the other section commissioners are doing the same. And truly, the leaders are eating last. You're putting the kids first. And it's fantastic to hear. And I think thank you for removing the in uncertainty. You've provided a lot of certainty today, which is great. Sure, things could change tomorrow. But I think as both you have done, as well as others within the CIF, as change comes, you're prepared for it. Sounds like we've got the right people in the right spot to lead and keep the student athletes first. So David and Rob, really appreciate you coming on here today. We can't wait to get back to see the student athletes on the respective courts and fields and in the classroom. That's why we do what we do. We want to make sure that we can unlock opportunity for them and providing them the easiest fundraiser available. So we can't wait till schools can get back and start doing that again. And we'll be ready. We're waiting on the sideline. When our number's called, we'll be ready. So in the meantime, thank you again for both coming on. Love to get you back on and do it again as we get closer to the fall seasons, I guess, which are kicking off come December. So in the meantime, continued success, continue to lead the way that you're leading. And we appreciate everything that you guys do.
Thank you for including us today.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. And really do appreciate your support and all the D-Team sponsor does for our schools. And they're going to need you now more than ever. And I know that that'll be something that will really help them. And I know you're always there to help them. So we really appreciate that and your commitment to student athletes first. You're natural partners of ours because you're in the same mindset that we are.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure. And like I said, we're on the sidelines. We're ready when coaches and ADs need us. We're going to be there. We're ready to help them out. So, well, gentlemen, have a great rest of the day, and we'll look forward to catching up with you guys down the road.
Thank you, guys.
Very good. Thanks you guys.
Thanks, guys.